Welcome to the Banded About podcast series. Joining me in the engine room today is a musician who has been involved in music from a very young age. He first began to follow in his dad's footsteps when he was in year 10, when he switched from playing other instruments and he began to play drums with the school band. In year 12, he studied sound engineering and he then went to Adelaide Uni to get his diploma in sound engineering, and this is where he met his bandmates. So now it's time for me to introduce my guest. It is my great pleasure to welcome Sam Gutschwein. Thank you for making time to chat with me today.
Hello. Thank you, Di. Thanks for having me. Wonderful.
My pleasure. Okay, Sam, I believe that you were born in New South Wales.
Yes, St George's Hospital, same hospital where my mother worked. Spent the first 9 years, I think. Yeah, 9 years. We moved back here in 2005.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I know that your dad is a drummer.
He certainly is, yes.
And a songwriter, lyricist, audio engineer. Yep.
Everything, yeah.
Does anybody else in the family have a musical background?
I don't think so. It's sort of just me and dad. Mum's not musical. She loves music, but she can't play an instrument. I'm sure she'd love to be able to, but yeah, and then there's no one else in the family that plays anything. It's just me and the old man.
Oh, well, at least you've got somebody.
Well, that's right. Yeah. That's it.
I read that you play a guitar and the piano as well.
Yeah, barely.
Barely? Okay. So what made you decide that drums was the thing for you?
I think, yeah, primary influence is dad being a drummer. I always thought it was – I think drums to me is one of the coolest instruments. Like, it looks cool. It's massive. It's really loud. I've always been drawn to it for those reasons. I do sort of wish I still played piano a bit. I think it's quite a useful instrument, but the drums just has me. I don't think there's anything – I don't think there's another instrument out there that I would be as interested in.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Now, you said that you came to South Australia when you were 9.
Yes.
What school did you go to?
Primary school here. I went to Port Nolunga Primary School.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondary school is Cardone College.
Right. And did you have music at school?
I did, yeah. Actually, Port Nolunga was where I played like my first, I guess, public, you know, parents and teachers, that sort of thing. First public shows. We had a year 7 band. I remember we had like an end of year sort of showcase thing, I think, for the school. And we played, oh gosh, what did we play? We played Joker and the Thief by Wolfmother. We played Rock and Roll All Night by Kiss. And I think we played a Green Day song. I can't remember the third one. But yeah, so that's year 7 was, yeah, that's where it sort of started playing in front of people. And then in high school in Cardine, I was in the stage band there. I actually started out on alto saxophone.
All right.
In year 10, I switched to drums and sort of, yeah, was the stage band drummer for a couple of years, which was great. We did Generations in Jazz, which is like the big sort of school's jazz festival down in Mount Gambier. That was quite an experience. Jazz is a pretty crazy world.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always been doing music in some respect. I've never not been.
Excellent. So when did you get your first drum set?
I actually didn't have my own kit until reasonably recently. I mean, 4 or 5 years, I think, ago. I was always sort of just playing on dad's drum kit. We didn't really have space to have two kits set up because dad's left-handed and I'm right-handed. So every time sort of, because it was his kit, every time I wanted to practice, I had to go up there and switch the kit over and then practice and then switch it back, which was all right. It got to be a bit of a chore after a while. So yeah, about 4 or 5 years ago, we found it's like a Tama Superstar on Gumtree, and that sort of has become my kit. And then a few years ago, maybe 2 years ago now, I bought my Forever kit, mm-hmm. which is an 80s Tama Superstar. Same as my dad's, actually. It's the best kit ever.
Lovely.
Amazing. I love it.
So did Dad teach you or did you have other drum teachers?
He probably taught me a little bit in the beginning. Mostly self-taught, I think. I definitely picked up a lot from watching him. Mm-hmm. Been going to whenever he played a gig, I was there. Always watching him, see how he plays, how he does things. And because he's left-handed, it's quite easy to see what he's doing. The perspective is mirrored, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I sort of got, I understood a lot of that from what he was doing. And then I think I had 1 year of lessons in year 10 with Brody Green, who's a phenomenal drummer.
Yeah.
Plays in, I think he's still in Southern Empire. Yeah. Great guy.
Excellent. So what was your first band?
My first serious band actually is the band I'm in at the moment, Wolf and Chain.
Yeah.
I had a few other, I guess jam bands you would call them, where we'd sort of just show up to practice, if you could call it practice. Practice once a week and just play songs that we sort of knew, but we never really did any gigs or anything. Yeah, it's not until Wolf and Chain that I've been in a serious, I guess, working band. Like we're trying to play gigs and release music and stuff and have a shot at it.
Excellent. So when was that band's first major gig?
Major gig? Probably, I think there would be others, but the first one that really sticks out is, it was called The Prom. It was actually, it was an event that we organized, an 80s prom, essentially, to release our music video or single for Honest Mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It was at Lion Arts Factory. Everyone was dressed up. We had a balloon arch. It was awesome. It's a really, really good gig. Sort of the first, I guess like major important show that we played.
Yeah. Cool. So do you have a memorable gig story that you want to share?
Yeah, I guess what comes to mind when we were on a tour earlier in the year called the Wolfstone Park Tour with Clay J. Gladstone and Jurassic Park, a couple of interstate bands, and we played in Melbourne at the Workers Club.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never been there before. I'd heard about the venue and, everyone's like, oh, it's great. It's awesome. You'll have a good time. And when we got there, sort of we'd actually driven over that day and we forgot about the time zone. We didn't realize that we'd lose half an hour. The entire time we were like, oh, yeah, we're on time. We're fine. We got, an hour to spare. And then obviously half an hour just disappears. It just doesn't exist anymore. So then you've got 30 minutes to spare, which is not a lot.
No.
And then navigating Melbourne city traffic.
Oh, the traffic. Yeah.
Yeah. And this big Toyota Hiace. Not really knowing where we're going. And all the streets there are really confusing.
Mm-hmm.
But we got there on time and the venue is cool, like people say it is, but it was about a million degrees inside the venue. And they, for some reason, they didn't have any fans on and all the air conditioners were broken. So it's like, imagine not a dungeon, it's a bit bigger than a dungeon, but this black room with 150 people or so in it, just sweating and then playing a show.
Oh, God.
The gig was awesome. The feeling after the gig, not so awesome. I had to go and sit in the van for 30 minutes and cool down. It was rough. But
yeah, as a drummer, being in condition, imagine it would have been quite bad, yeah.
Yeah, and we play with we have to wear long pants and I was wearing a long sleeve, really thick, velour shirt, I guess, which doesn't breathe. It was terrible. But the show, I really enjoyed the show. For sure. You sort of just forget about all the issues when you're playing, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose. What was the first job that you had when you left school?
Actually, I worked on a family friend's farm for a bit collecting eggs,
right?
Chicken eggs, which was a bit of a weird job. I was only there for 4 months or so. But my first serious job is still the one I'm at now. I work at Derringer's in the audio shop. Been there for about 3 years, I think. It's been my first, yeah, like real serious adult job, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I have a feeling that you might have served me in there once.
It's possible, yeah.
When I bought my in-ear monitors.
Yeah, when Jerry was the guy that asked me if I would be interested in this. Mm. He mentions your name, and I'm like, that name sounds very familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely possible.
There you go. I think it's very possible because when I looked at your picture and I went, oh, I know that face.
Yeah,
there you go. Is there a band that you'd really like to play with?
That's a hard question. There's lots of bands that I'd love to play with. I think if I had to pick one, put them at the top. Oh, dear. Honestly, it'd probably be a band. They're called Periphery. They just sort of have been, I guess, my favorite band forever.
Mm.
There's never been, you know, I sort of go in and out of phases with music and genres and what I'm into and stuff every couple of months. But Periphery has been a constant. To share the stage with them would be unreal.
Cool.
Unreal.
Sam, how do you prepare yourself before a show?
I try and warm up if we've got time. I'll even just bang it on the wall, just do something, get my hands moving, try and warm up my feet if I can, if there's room. And then the band, actually, if we've got time, which a lot of the time you don't, unfortunately, but when you do, it's nice. We've got a routine where we play through the first two songs of the set acoustically. We just sort of tap along, everyone plays their part. Jack sort of sings a bit and we get into the first two songs sort of to, I guess, get rid of like the mental aspect of like, oh, this is the first song. I better not mess it up. We find that really helps.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, it's just, trying to find the time. We've done it in a bathroom before. We've done it outside. You get a lot of strange looks, but it's worth it.
Yeah, definitely. Sam, how's the pandemic impacted the band?
Obviously, like a lot of people, we've lost a lot of gigs and there's been opportunities that, you know, you miss out on and all that stuff, which is fine. I mean, everyone's feeling it, so you can't be too stuck on it, I don't think. If I had to find a positive, it'd be the timeline is maybe not as condensed as it would be. Otherwise, like if you're releasing music or you're working on a video or whatever it might be, instead of the deadline being, you know, X days or X months or whatever, you've got a little bit more time, I think, because you can take things a little bit slower because there's not as many shows to promote yourself, unfortunately. But like we used a lot of it to record our second EP, which comes out actually really soon, the end of this month. And I think that if we were playing gigs at the same time, there would have been, you know, we would have felt the pressure a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, not having shows to play, while it sucks, it's really sad. And me and everyone, we all wish that it wasn't the case, but it is. So you got to sort of, I guess, try and find a positive aspect to it.
Definitely. I think it's really important to try and find a positive. And most people have.
Yeah, that's been able to. That's good to hear. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people I speak to at the shop, DJs and wedding celebrants and people who MC things and everything, you name it, everyone's in the same boat, and quite a lot of people are reasonably positive about it, which is awesome. It's really nice.
You not only followed in your dad's footsteps as far as drumming goes, but also with mixing and being a engineer.
Yeah.
And I believe you're the owner and specialist mixer at Loud Toys Studio.
That's it. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's always been an interest as well. I studied, I did sound engineering in year 12, which is like just an introductory course. And then I went to the University of Adelaide and did the diploma in sound engineering, which is actually where I met my bandmates. So good thing I did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. I really like recording and tracking and putting mics on things. I think it's quite an enjoyable experience. Mixing's really fun too. Just see where, I mean, it sounds kind of corny, but see where the song takes you.
Mm.
See what happens. Yeah, it's been really fun. I'm lucky I get to do all of the stuff for the band. I get to record everything. I don't mix it. We leave that up to Jared Nettle. But, yeah, recording's really fun. It's great.
Well, it's very handy to have somebody with your skills in a band, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is. I don't have too much else to offer, so I'm really glad that they let me do it for them.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. If you could offer only one tip to a brand new drummer, what would it be?
It's a hard question. I think focusing on creativity is really important. Listening to a wide variety of genres is helpful. I think, you know, the rhythm section, drums, even bass to an extent, I mean, you can draw a lot for yourself from other places. You know, a lot of music has rhythms and sounds that you might not necessarily hear all the time, and they're quite interesting. I don't think it's wise to look at things narrowly, if that makes sense. Yeah, just keep a wide perspective in terms of what's possible.
Great. Okay, Sam, who are your top three local drummers?
That is hard. There's so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say Kai Samble. He's a beast. He's really, really good. Jack Thompson, who also works at the drum shop. Again, just awesome guy, stand-up guy, phenomenal player. Gives me lessons on technique whenever I ask for them, even if the shop's busy sometimes. Who else? I'd probably have to say Jacob. I think it's Jacob Tengel from Big Romance, one of my friend's bands. He's super tight, really creative player. Lovely guy. Yeah. There's so many more. Ben Todd, Brad Pullane.
Yeah, the list goes on. Yeah, there's heaps. I know. It's a really hard question. Especially only being allowed to choose three.
Michael Clarke and Miles Sly.
All right, that's enough.
Yeah, that's enough.
Okay, Sam, I want you to choose the three most important to you from the following five.
Sure.
So we've got groove.
Yeah.
Creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Chops. Technique. And time. Out of those five, which three are most important to you?
Groove, definitely. Creativity. Ooh, probably time. Yeah, I think groove is like people generally dance to what the drummer's doing and how the drummer interacts with the bass player, what the rhythm section's doing. So being able to drive that and have a good groove, that's important. Sometimes you might go see a band, and while the songs are good and everything, I think a drummer without any groove can often let a band down. That sounds really negative, but, you know, groove's important. A song needs to have groove. It needs to have push and pull and all that. But at the same time, it needs to be in time. Timing's really important, especially in some genres. I know in my band, some of my bandmates drift a little bit, shall we say. They start things slower or faster than they should. And then creativity, just, I guess, being able to express yourself and do what you want to a degree on the kit's really important as well.
Yeah, especially if you're in an original band like
Absolutely.
You are. So, yeah, you do need to be a bit creative, don't you? Otherwise, every song's going to be a bit too similar.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm. Excellent. If you could invite any musicians to play a concert with you anywhere in the world, you're on the kit, who would you call? Where would it be held? And what genre would the band perform?
Interesting. I have to say Red Rocks is my dream venue over in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Just every photo I've seen, every video I've seen there, the venue just looks otherworldly. It looks totally alien. It's like this big amphitheater, just like in the middle of a desert or something. It's just rocks everywhere. It's awesome. Who would I play with? I think probably Nolly from Periphery on bass, one of my favorite bass players. Maybe Ray Toro from My Chemical Romance on guitar. And then Michael Lassard, I think his name is, the vocalist in The Contortionist. I think just three super solid musicians. What would we play, though? It's a bit of a weird mix. I guess like shoegazy rock, maybe, with like some weird synth stuff happening. Could be interesting.
Sounds interesting. Yeah, cool. Excellent. Is there something that you've really tried to play that you couldn't get right, or you weren't satisfied with the way that you played it?
Yeah, there's actually a lot of music that I listen to that I would really love to be able to play, but my brain is ahead of my limbs in some respects. Like I can, like there's certain Periphery songs or Meshuggah songs or Tesseract or something where it's, you can feel the groove. Again, comes back to the groove, and you can understand how it's played, but like physically sitting down and actually trying to play it is impossible sometimes. But I've sort of been working on that, and that's getting better. So onwards and upwards for those things. Hopefully this time next year I'll be able to play them all. That'd be nice.
Cool. Do you ever get bored with your own playing?
No, I don't. No, I think it's every now and then, sort of when maybe the band hasn't practiced for a while or we haven't had a gig, and then we do have one and you sit down and you play the songs. They're actually really fun.
Yeah.
Every time I sit down at the kit, I have a good time, even when it's hard. I think it's important to, I guess, keep focused on goals, but you also have to have fun. Playing drums is super fun. So, you know, you got to enjoy it.
Yeah, you do need to enjoy yourself, don't you?
Yeah. I think you see a lot of people that are quite serious, but I'm sure even they enjoy it. You have to. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it, right?
True. Well, I hope not, anyway.
I hope not. That's right.
Are you involved with any other projects at all?
No, not really. No, Wolf and Chain is...
That's it?
...the only band I play with, yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I think it's... Like I've, with work and with other commitments and stuff, it's a lot. It's a fairly full-on band, I guess. We do a lot of stuff behind the scenes. And I love the dudes. I love hanging out with them, spending time with them, writing music with them. I feel, I guess in a word, fulfilled. I don't think I have to go and play with anyone else really for the time being anyway.
Yeah, well, it's really important to get along with your band members and like them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Great. Sam, where do you see yourself in the next 10 years?
Hopefully a touring musician, at least in some respects, maybe not full-time. I don't know if that's – I guess it'll be possible again once the world opens up.
I hope so.
The band for me is, I guess it's an avenue to travel as much as it's an avenue to express myself and play music and, you know, create memories. But the travel aspect of it is really enticing, I think. In the next 10 years, I'd love to have seen some things that I want to see and go some places that I want to go. Japan's top of the list. But yeah, just I guess hopefully with the still with the same guys as well. That would be great.
Excellent. And you toured when you mentioned before, you toured with the release of your debut EP.
Yeah.
So what was it like being on the road?
It's awesome. It's really fun. It's super stressful at the same time. Just getting places on time. But Yeah, it was really fun. We took one of our other friends, Michael, to take photos with us. Mm-hmm. It was really nice having him there. Just like an extra hand was good. Got to meet some great people, played some awesome shows. I cannot wait to do it again. It is, it's the best, I think.
Cool. What do you hope to have achieved before you lay down the sticks for the last time?
Traveling is a big one, but I guess just leaving a positive impact on people, I guess by my efforts within the band. I think, music is all inclusive to me, and I think that if someone finds an artist that they really enjoy, I think they get a lot out of that generally. And to be part of a band, to be part of a group that does that for people, that's really nice, wholesome. And I'd like to be able to play The Dance of Eternity by Dream Theater. That's the goal.
That's one the day. Goal? Excellent.
Yeah, one day.
Before we end our chat today, I'm going to ask Sam 20 quick random questions, or as many as we can get through in the space of 2 minutes to close the interview. Are you ready, Sam?
I'm ready.
Excellent. Your time starts now. What was the first song you learnt to play?
Joker and the Thief, Wolf Mother.
What was the first album that you purchased?
Rage Against the Machine, self-titled.
True or false, death metal is an offshoot of thrash metal?
Oh, no. True?
Yep, true.
Yes, cool.
Name a band you wish you'd seen play live.
Oh, dear. Rush.
The most sticks that you've dropped during a gig?
3.
True or false, paleontologist Mats Eriksson names newly discovered fossils after heavy metal legends?
Well, I hope that's true.
It is true. Yes. What was the first concert that you went to?
It was, I think, Bull of My Valentine at Thebe, 2009, probably.
Okay. Name a famous drummer that you'd like to meet.
Dave Grohl.
In 2017, how was the founding and longtime drummer of heavy metal band Lamb of God, Chris Adler, injured?
It was a motorcycle accident, I think.
It was.
Yes.
What venue is located at 196 Grenfell Street?
Oh, dear. Is it The Cranker?
Yep.
Yes.
What was the first single that you purchased?
First single? Oh, my goodness. I think I've got a copy of that Hanson song, Mbop, somewhere.
All right.
Yeah.
Name a music genre that you don't like.
Reggae. Sorry.
Name one thing that you cannot live without.
Oh, dear. I'd have to say, music, I think, is the answer.
Music?
Yeah.
What was the last concert that you went to?
I went and saw... Oh, my goodness, I cannot remember. Oh, no, the time's up.
Time's up! Hang on, I'll just stop that. Thank you once again, Sam, for joining me for the Bandit About podcast today. You've been great to chat to, and I hope that everyone who listens finds this as enjoyable as I did.
Thank you so much, Di. I had a great time.
My pleasure. I'm glad that you did.
Beautiful. I'll just let everyone know that our band, my band's EP, Wolf and Chain, our EP comes out October 29th. So check it out.
Excellent. Looking forward to that.
Thank you.
All of the information and links relating to today's interview can be found in the show notes. And if you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, please share the link with your friends. Until next week, it's goodbye from me, Di, Bandit About, proudly supporting live music. Bye.
Bye.
close as we got rid of.